friend even more. We don't even know where he is.
Yes, we do. The East Wing.
You're not getting it.
Nico sighed and studied me.
You might get in, but you won't get out.
Maybe he was right.
But why did I want to leave if Heracles was trapped and being tortured? My world, except him, was crashing and burning. I was trying not to face that reality and holding out for Heracles to fix things. I didn't care what happened to me if it meant he was gone. I didn't tell Nico any of this. It was obvious he thought I was insane. To discuss what I felt made it more real. It was easier for me to push away my emotions and put all my faith in the man sitting in a cell somewhere in the East Wing of CISA headquarters. Heracles had spent over a decade taking care of me. For once, it was my turn to do the same for him, and nothing Nico said was going to dissuade me.
Well, come on, he said, and stood.
Where are we going? I asked suspiciously.
Dozy knows some people. You and I are going to walk into CISA and hope she can get us out.
He stopped outside the cafe and pulled out a pair of handcuffs.
I've never seen footage of a potential oracle walking in voluntarily.
He slid one cold cuff around one wrist, then the other.
You're really going to help me?
Nico met my gaze.
No one else I know would consider me walking you into CISA helping, he replied.
When we're inside, chances are they're going to separate us. Count to 100 and then pull off your red bracelet. If you really are what Dozy says, it'll cause some sort of chaos and distract them long enough for me to slip away and find Heracles.
This is a great plan, I said, my hope building.
It's a terrible plan. We have no exit strategy.
I didn't care. All I could think about was Heracles.
I can take care of myself, I told him when I saw the worried look he cast the walls. I know self-defense, and I can run.
You have no clue, kid.
Without another word, he took my arm and marched me across the street. My stomach churned as we approached the guard post.
I found the real oracle, Nico proclaimed.
Move along,
one of the guards said, unconcerned.
Look, I'm a merc. I've been tracking her, and I found her,
Nico insisted.
If you check with your boss, he's expecting me.
Say what now? I eyed him.
Whatever, sport. Keep walking.
Another guard replied. Nico glanced at me.
Can you do anything oracle-y to prove it? He asked.
Not that I know of. He muttered something I couldn't hear, then reached for the red cord at my wrist. Tugging the knot free, he pulled it away. A wave, invisible, yet strong enough to shatter the glass of car windshields, rippled outward from us. The gate before us shook, and the plastic chairs outside the cafe flipped onto their sides. Everyone within 10 feet of us was flattened. The wave lost power the farther it traveled down the block. Nico and I exchanged a look. We alone were left standing. The guards were sprawled onto the ground where they'd fallen. Replacing the red cord, Nico faced the nearest guard, who appeared too stunned to react.
If you don't want her, I can sell her off on the black market for at least...
The guards erupted into action and shouting. Someone screamed for the gate to be opened, while two more charged and grabbed us both.
It's working,
I mouthed to Nico, not fighting the men jostling us towards the gate. He rolled his eyes. We were escorted past the first gate, where our entourage doubled before we were permitted through the second gate. The compound inside consisted of at least 3 buildings, edging a courtyard and entrance to an underground parking garage. We stopped there. One of the guards radioed in to someone. He was too far away for me to hear, and my gaze fell to the buildings to the east, where I thought Heracles might be. It was impossible to tell anything about the buildings and what they held by their uniform, blank facades. No numbers or identifying marks were visible. The building on the left was boarded up. Someone in a suit emerged from the eastern building to wave the guard forward. I was corralled in that direction. Nico remained in the courtyard. I automatically began to count as he had instructed. The interior of the building was as plain as the exterior. A foyer consisting of an empty space flanked by two doors held two men in business suits and a doctor or nurse in scrubs.
"Just one guard."
One of the businessmen waved the others away. He wore spectacles and carried an iPad.
"You won't be any trouble, right, Princess?"
He glanced at me. What an ass. But I was polite.
"No, sir," I replied.
He waited for the door to close behind the other guards before motioning for his assistant to open one of the doors leading into the interior. We walked into the building, and I peered into the offices we passed. They were empty and appeared to have been for quite some time. The cameras in the hallways all pointed at the floor or the wall behind them rather than in the direction they should. Dozy's claim about this place being a setup for something began to make more sense.
"Name," the man in the suit said to me crisply.
"Holly."
"A pleasure, Holly. We're going to do some paperwork and then send you in for a medical exam. We've had quite a few frauds lately, so I'm sure you'll understand the precautions we must take. There's a great deal of wealth involved."
"Wealth?" I echoed. He stepped into an office and motioned me to sit in front of a desk.
"The Oracle of Delphi's fortune has been growing for 10,000 years. It's the number one reason for fraud. People have been after her money for years."
"So she's rich." I frowned, not understanding the divide between what the priest told me and this. And the downside...
"Downside?"
He gave me an odd look.
"What downside is there to being one of the wealthiest people on the planet, handed power on a platter and having the honor of communicating directly with the gods daily?"
"I guess there is none." Something wasn't right about this. If what he said was true, why did Nico say every potential oracle who came here did so unwillingly? The priests had only said the oracle was tortured. They never mentioned wealth or anything else. I knew they favored the old ways and found myself wishing once more they'd taken the time to tell me something more than they had. Like the full truth. Did they fear I'd be swayed to ignore the old ways by money? The guard took off my handcuffs, and the assistant scanned my arm. "Holly Rodriguez," he said, reading the screen. "According to this, you're 38 and wanted for murder in 2 states. All 4 of them stared at me. "About that," I cleared my throat.
"Note to self, tell Nico never to use Marty again."
Then again, this was probably karma after Nico stole money from his criminal friends. "It hasn't been reprogrammed," the assistant continued, "which means
you either killed Holly Rodriguez or bought a biotag on the black market."
Spectacles finished. "I didn't kill anyone," I said quickly. "There are no traces of her old biotag being removed. How did you come to have no biotag?" the assistant asked. "I'm not even sure what a..." "Ow!" I snapped and yanked my arm back. A tiny, sharp prick of pain throbbed in my forearm in the spot where he'd removed the chip.
"DNA sample," Spectacles directed the medic. "There's more than one way to uncover your identity."
"I'd like to know that, too," I told him. They gave me the same look Nico did pretty much every time I spoke. I was escorted down the corridor, past more empty offices, to a small medical lab, past a hallway with prisoners 0 to 24 listed on the wall, and motioned to a chair in the doctor's office. Realizing I had lost track of my count, I started at 50 and watched the doctor prep a needle. He wrapped rubber around my arm and then tapped the bluish vein inside my elbow.
"You're very calm," he said with a glance at me.
"I've had my blood drawn before," I replied.
"No, I mean with all this."
He motioned to the guard at the door, in the assistant of spectacles who was typing into his iPad. The insertion of the needle stung, and I watched the plastic vial fill with blood. "I guess I don't understand what the big deal is," I replied truthfully. His eyes lingered on my features, as if he didn't believe me. It was hard for me to be deceptive about something I knew nothing about. He finished when I got to 99 in my countdown, so I kept counting. I didn't want to knock everyone down with a needle in my arm.
"You really don't know, do you?"
he asked, and slid the needle free. "I don't even know enough to know what I'm supposed to know about," I quipped.
"Hold the cotton ball for 10 seconds.
He smiled.
"I see a lot here, and everyone is usually trying to get something over on someone else.
It's the political nature of D.C. Even the frauds are trying to game the system somehow.
But you, you're not right."
"I get that a lot, Doc." I lifted the cotton ball to check the prick beneath.
"A place like this will destroy you if you aren't her. The trials might do the same, even if you are. The gods are not happy. Be careful."
I looked up, not expecting the compassion, however distant and passing it was.
"Thank you. I'm sure I can handle it."
"I'm done."
He motioned to the guard. I joined the guard at the door. A closer look at the mask showed me it was almost sheer. Nothing impeded the breathing or sight of the man beneath it. The color prevented people from seeing his features.
"Where to next?" I asked the guard curiously. This wasn't the ideal area to unleash my strange magic wave. I wanted to be closer to the prison.
"We wait for the DNA results to identify you based on the genetic profiles kept in the biotag database,"
the assistant to spectacles said.
"You can wait in John's office or the courtyard."
"John's office sounds great," I said cheerfully. Even he looked at me like I was crazy. I didn't understand what everyone was concerned about. I had a feeling I'd be in trouble if I were a fraud. But I wasn't. And I didn't think being the Oracle could be worse than lying to people with no senses of humor, who are probably quick to pull the trigger on a fraud. We returned to the office. John wasn't there, and the guard took up his post outside the room. The assistant started to sit. Wanting as few people around as possible when I took off the bracelet, I spoke up quickly. "Hey, can I get some water?" The assistant glanced at me and stood once more without responding, leaving the room. I had long since passed the count of 100 and hoped Nico wasn't in trouble. I listened until I heard the sound of the assistant's footsteps fade, then crept to the door and untied the cord at my wrist. In a confined space, the weird shock wave was way worse. It shattered the glass office windows behind me and slammed into walls, reverberating back towards me and knocking me to the ground along with the guard. An alarm went off in response to the building shaking, and the lights in the hallway flickered. I hastily replaced the cord and made a mental note never to take it off inside again. My ears rang as I scrambled to my feet ahead of the guard. Before he could stand, I had snatched his handgun. I bolted towards the direction of the hallways where I'd seen the sign for the prisoners. Darting down it, I heard someone shout for more security forces. The alarm blared. I covered my ears. My heart was slamming into my chest and my adrenaline racing as I reached the intersection at the end of the hall. This one wasn't labeled. I was a little turned around in the building that had no windows in the corridors. After a split second of debate, I raced to the left, which I hoped would take me toward the wing with the prisoners. The alarm turned off. "Thank the gods," I murmured, and paused near another intersection. I heard the sounds of mobilized guards from the direction I came from, but couldn't determine if or which way was where I wanted to go. I headed left once more. The boring, whitewashed hallways expanded and emptied out into a courtyard at the center of four buildings. Ducking behind the wall to keep the guards rushing around from spotting me, I saw another sign indicating the prisons across the courtyard from me and waited. One guard in particular seemed to be directing traffic in the center of the courtyard. Dressed similarly to the others, He wore a red patch on one arm. I took to mean he was a commander, or someone up the leadership chain. The courtyard was lined by long dead bushes and shriveled trees. Once the traffic in the courtyard dissipated, he strode away as well, and I inched out from the hall. Heracles had taught me how to hunt without alerting my prey, and I used those principles to move into the courtyard stealthily, to the edge of the covered positions behind a post. I stopped to listen and let my senses read what they could from my surroundings. A good 10 meters of open space stretched between me and the building I wanted to be in. Cameras had been placed in the corners of the courtyards, all facing the sky rather than the open area, and no guards. In fact, the courtyard was silent, the calm eye of the compound. I began to think the 20 or 30 guards, some out front and some I had seen in the courtyard, were the only other people present. The large compound was a ghost town. Despite the fact I saw and heard nothing to alarm me, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I didn't move for a long moment, waiting for whatever it was to pass. But the sensation remained. It was more than being watched, more than the surge of adrenaline in my system. If my senses hadn't told me it was clear behind me, I'd almost think someone was there. Heracles had trained me to trust my intuition over my eyes. I gripped the handgun more tightly, and then whirled. The man with the red patch was behind me, close enough to grab me. He reacted with agility that stunned me, arcing back and knocking my arm away while whipping out his own handgun and pressing the cold metal muzzle to my forehead. Within the time it took for me to gasp, I had gone from in control to being at his mercy. I went perfectly still. I had never seen anyone move with such speed, even Heracles. His weapon was centered on my forehead. My weapon was trained uselessly beyond his feet. The mask obscured his face. Unlike the others, the commander didn't wear body armor or carry a rifle, as if it were rare for him to leave the compound, or maybe, because he was confident enough not to need such things. He was a good head taller than me, lean and sinewy, where Nico and Heracles were thick. He even breathed silently. "You're fast," I said, unable to help the honest words. "Like, really fast." "So are you." I tilted my head. His soft, gravelly voice was familiar. I didn't think it possible I had ever heard it before, and I searched my thoughts for why I recognized it. "Can you use that gun?" he asked. "It may come as a surprise, but yes," I replied. "Though why it continues to amaze you people that I'm not a defenseless little girl, I don't understand. I tend to give my opponents the benefit of the doubt, whether or not they appear to be defenseless little girls." He nudged my head back an inch with the weapon. "You're brave." "I've been told I'm stupid, not brave," I said. "Entertaining, too." Thanks. What in the name of the gods? This guy is messing with me. Anyway, I'm just going to leave." He nudged my forehead with the gun again, as if to remind me of its presence. As if I could ever forget. "You don't want me dead, or you would have shot me. You want me scared enough to obey, which I'm not." I eased back. "I'm leaving. You can shoot me if you want. But either way..." I held up my arms and backed away, not about to lose the gun, but sensing this guy wasn't going to be the one who pulled the trigger. He didn't lower the weapon, but stepped with me, with grace and silence I envied. Perhaps I should have been more cautious. The man was a predator of a different kind. One without the moodiness of Nico, or the friendly warmth of Heracles. Something about the way he spoke to me. The fact I was pretty certain that, however improbable, He had been standing behind me long enough to shoot or subdue me, and chose not to. The uncanny sense he wasn't going to call for backup. The suspicion he was as intrigued by me as I was by him. The masked man was a freaky enigma, one even this brave fool knew was the most dangerous person I'd ever met. "Are you a gambler to risk your life like this?" He sounded curious. "No," I replied. "I'm weird. Everyone says so. But at least I can run fast. Faster than me." What in Hades? I meant it as somewhat of a nervous joke. I didn't get why he was standing here talking to me, or why I didn't feel the need to run. If anything, something unnatural held me here. It wasn't my will, or fear, or anything else I controlled. It was him. Was it a trick? Magic? He moved like no human. Could he be a demigod? "Maybe," I cleared my throat. "Down the hallway to your left is a fountain. Make it there and back before I do, and I'll let you walk out of here. Fail, and you remain as my master's guest." "Did you just challenge me to a race?" I asked, startled. "This guy definitely plays with his food before he eats it." Heracles said this kind of opponent was the worst, and to be drawn into their game was the greatest kind of danger in existence. But if I really did have a chance to walk out of here by simply outrunning him, I'd be a fool not to play a game I could win. "Ready?" He put his gun away. At least it was a race. I stood a chance. I kept telling myself this, despite the warning from Heracles beating mercilessly against my brain. "Set." I put my weapon away too, tucking it into the waist of my pants at the small of my back. "Go." I ran. I beat him to the entrance of the hallway, but he soon pulled ahead, making it look easy to outdistance me when I knew how fast I was. Pushing myself harder, I caught up to him before the dry fountain and nudged him aside to take the inside track. I pushed him a little too hard. He caught himself against a wall, and I silently apologized and sprinted ahead. The man soon caught up to and passed me. I was two steps behind him, my instincts screaming for me to escape before I lost and he devoured me for dinner. The moment we hit the courtyard again, I bolted off towards the wing where I hoped to find Heracles, counting on putting distance between me and the commander before he noticed I wasn't playing his game anymore. For several steps, I was convinced I'd done it, outsmarted and outdistanced him. And then something smacked into me, driving me to the ground. I rolled and leapt to my feet, barely keeping up my arms in defense of a kick that was aimed at my head. I stumbled back, but soon let my instincts take over, the way they did when I sparred with Heracles. The commander fought with the same agility with which he ran. I struggled to keep up with his pace, and when I thought for sure I was about to faceplant and end up dead, he eased up. It hit me then he was testing me. It was a matter of survival to me, but it seemed to be the next level of his game to him. Uncertainty turned to mild panic, and I suddenly had the urge to back down. I wasn't good at games. I didn't like them, and I never, ever won. Something about the mental manipulation component defied my preference for direct confrontation. I fought and looked for my out. He could have killed me 10 times over by now, but I had one secret weapon. I dropped my defenses completely and snatched the red cord off my wrist. If I couldn't win fairly, I was going to win however I had to. The cord fell away. The man snatched my wrist and yanked me into his body. I caught myself against his wide chest and cursed silently. His arm coiled around me, pinning me in place. He figured out, or maybe just knew, whoever else was in my space wasn't going to be affected by the wave. But it wasn't this that startled me most. It was how I experienced him. I'd hugged Heracles, the priests, the nymphs, but I couldn't recall noticing them,
the shape of their muscles, the light scent of their bodies, even their warmth. Which was silly, because they were no different than this man. Flesh, blood, yada yada. Why did I find it fascinating that I could feel his heartbeat beneath my right hand? Why was I breathing in deeper to try to taste his scent? Why was his smell as familiar as his voice? And I'd never experienced either before. The shockwave was stronger this time, and I twisted to see behind me at the damage. The earth around us shook, while the ground beneath our feet was perfectly still. Alarms erupted once more, along with the sound of glass shattering. "Damn it," I murmured breathlessly, and pulled at his grip. I was losing my chance to act. He didn't release me, but bent and grabbed the cord to replace around my wrist. The moment it was secure, the world around us ceased trembling. "It's foolish to unleash power you cannot control," he told me. He gripped my neck with one hand and stripped my weapons from my body, tossing them away. He whipped off his mask next and tapped the microphone on his shoulder, speaking one word into it. "Courtyard." His gaze fell to mine. The man who could outrun, outsmart, and outfight me was a kind of beautiful I didn't know existed. Green-blue eyes surrounded by long, feathery lashes beneath thick eyebrows were so bright they almost glowed in an olive-toned face. His features were too perfectly chiseled to be natural. A shock of black hair clashed with his bright eyes. He was clean-shaven, hard of expression, and too strong and nimble to be real. I knew him, or at least, like his voice. I felt like I did. It was the same weird instinct I had felt when I touched the gem Father Ellis gave me. Like this man belonged to me. Which was the craziest thing yet in my adventures since setting foot outside the boundaries of the forest. "Quick, listen." Nico's voice broke the spell. "Get out of here." I twisted to see him emerge from the depths of one hallway, armed with two weapons trained on the beautiful stranger. "Did you find him?" I asked eagerly. "Not this time. We need a better plan. Exit that way." He motioned with his weapon to a hall I hadn't been down. Now! If I weren't rattled by the man I'd just met, I would have probably argued more. As it was, I wasn't feeling quite right about all that happened. I'd met someone I couldn't physically beat, and I wasn't about to stick around to find out what happened next. I pulled away from the stranger and went in the direction Nico indicated. But something stopped me before the first intersection. I was so close to Heracles, I didn't want to leave, especially since I didn't think I'd be able to use the same trick twice to get in here. After running into him, I didn't want to risk a second meeting either. I halted, then turned, creeping back down the hallway towards the courtyard at the center of the buildings. Nico had sent me into the north building, but I was determined to go to the east. Nico and the man were talking. Nico's guns were down, and their distance bespoke the comfortable distance between acquaintances, rather than enemies. I edged closer and strained my senses to hear what they said. "As agreed," the commander was saying. "Yeah, well, it costs more than I expected to get her here. The finder's fee doesn't cover my expenses." Finder's fee. Coldness trickled through me, and I thought about what Dozy had insisted to be true about Nico. "You'll be compensated for expenses," the commander replied, "and docked 10% for not contacting me before bringing her here. We had a plan, Nico, and you bulldozed it as usual." "Come on," Nico complained. "I also won't tell your boss you brought her to me instead of him." "Total dick move. Take it or leave it." Nico started to bristle. Just then, three guards filed out of one of the hallways into the courtyard. Not that the man he faced needed help. Nico didn't know how dangerous he was. I didn't know how dangerous Nico was. Betrayal hurt more than leaving my home,
It made me more desperate to find the only person I'd ever trusted, the man who could right the world tumbling rapidly out of control.
"I'll take it," Nico said reluctantly, eyes on the newcomers.
"You bastard." He had tried to warn me against men like him, and I assumed he was talking about everyone else. I didn't think he'd be the one to turn on me. If not for Dozy's insistence about what he'd done, I'd suspect him of murder rather than mercy killing the priests. The commander motioned someone forward.
"Take him to John and escort him out," he instructed.
"What happens to her?" Nico asked.
"Not your concern anymore now, is it?" came the cool response. "Oh, and Nico?"
"What, Adonis?"
"I know you aren't here as a merc. Whatever your boss is planning, assume I'm going to bill him."
Who is Nico's boss? How are Adonis and Nico connected? The questions were tumbling around my brain, and the only answer I cared about was how I was going to find Heracles and escape. After several lewd curses, Nico lingered for a fraction of a second, then left. A heavy feeling sank into my stomach. This had been his plan all along. Dozy was right, and I'd been too worried about Heracles to care what Nico's motivations were for helping me. I was a fool of the worst kind, one Heracles would be disappointed in for letting my emotions lead me into danger, instead of rationally thinking my suicide operation through.
"Instructions, sir." One of the guards approached the man in the center. "Secure the exits. I'll take it from here."
The commander's gaze went towards me. I eased back, hoping he hadn't realized I was there. I was alone, and no closer to finding Heracles. Slinking back down the hallway, I was careful to tune in at every intersection, both to my senses and to the intuition that might be the only sign the commander had found me. I had never felt anything but confident in myself. Yet here, I was a trapped rat in a blind maze. I felt like I did the night I spotted the grotesque. I was waiting for something to swoop out of nowhere and grab me. The buildings were, for the most part, abandoned. Every once in a while, I thought I sensed something and eased away from the direction I had been headed. I went deeper into the compound, farther from the east wing, and into the center of a building that seemed to consist of old barracks. I peeked into several and identified only about four rooms among the several dozen that appeared to be in use. It was as I entered the only decorated area in the center of the compound it hit me. I'd been herded in this direction discreetly by my opponent. The apartment was the sole part of the compound that appeared to have been used continually. It wasn't possible for me to end up here if I hadn't been manipulated. The airy, flat-featured high ceilings, its own bubbling fountain, and marble features everywhere. It had to be his, because it smelled like him. A faint scent I barely registered when I had met him, but which was stronger here. I wasn't able to place it except that it was his. One wall was jammed with awards, citations, degrees, certifications, and other proof of recognition. The largest, the plaque naming him the Chief of CISA. My heart took off again when I realized who I'd been unknowingly messing with. "Only the big bad wolf," I muttered to myself. I mentally kicked my own ass at the thought of teasing the man charged with oppressing opposition and policing everyday people. Adonis Wade wasn't a cop or a security guard, but the man charged by the gods with the security of the entire human race. And he knew who I was, because I'd been stupid enough to challenge him. Nico had allegedly mercy-killed four priests to keep this man from torturing them to discover me, and I walked through the front door and challenged him to a duel. I had never felt real fear until I stood before his wall of accolades and began to understand why Nico and Dozy said rescuing Heracles was tantamount to suicide. I was dying to ask Nico if he'd made a deal to bring me in before he met the priest, or if he was looking out for his own interests after I told him what I was. I'm an idiot. Dozy was right. I never should have said anything about being an oracle. Never should have trusted a situation that appeared too perfect to be true. It wasn't a coincidence Nico helped me break into Sisa. It was part of a plan by strangers who knew what and who I was. Now that you understand. I whirled. Adonis Wade didn't look old enough to be the boogeyman his bragwall claimed he was. He wasn't much older than 25. He was dressed in the dark uniform, hands at his sides, and mesmerizing gaze on me. Understand what? I managed. Who you're dealing with, he replied. As long as you know who you're dealing with. I lifted my wrist to display the red cord. It was self-preservation that made me need to put something between us. The intensity of his presence and look was too much for me to handle without help. I slid behind a table with an expensive vase on it. Better than you do. His gaze went from me to his wall, and back to me. Stay here for now. No. The minute you leave, I'm gone. The fate of Heracles is in your hands. Just like that, my anger and defiance melted. I repeat, stay here for now. He strode towards the door. You're not gonna tie me up or anything? I asked. Too late, I heard the words, as if he needed me telling him to tie me up. I don't need to. If you care about Heracles, you'll do as I say. If you want to know who your parents were, who you are, you'll worry about not pissing me off. His words slammed into me. The one man in the world I shouldn't want anything to do with was dangling everything I wanted in front of me. My parents? I didn't think of them often, probably because I didn't remember them. I wasn't a complete idiot. I knew they had existed at one point. You're serious. What do you recall of your life before Heracles? Nothing. At all? Sometimes I dream of falling. I shrugged. That's all. I'm about to know everything, Alessandra. If you leave, you'll never learn any of it. He walked out. I stared at the closed door, not at all certain what just happened. I was trapped in the apartment of the chief of the Sisa. I think I'm in trouble, I thought, gazing around warily. But I wasn't about to leave. Not when the answers I needed were right in front of me. Chapter 8. I was falling again. It was nighttime, and the sky above overcast. Down, down, down. And Heracles was there to catch me, like always. My hero, my friend, my Heracles. I missed him even in my sleep. As I awoke, I silently swore it was my turn to rescue him. Alessandra. My eyes snapped open. Three people hovered too close to me. I sat up quickly from my spot sleeping on the couch and stared first at the man with the face that made my heart race unnaturally, and then at the doctor and John. It took me a moment to orient to this place and recall I had fallen asleep on the couch of the man who was probably supposed to be a supervillain to my super oracle self. Heracles would not approve. We have your DNA results, the doctor said, and held up a file folder. The reports are going to the triumvirate. They'll decide whether or not to release them to you. I imagine the press will figure out your identity before we can alert the gods. What made you voluntarily and quite publicly walk into this place? John, spectacles, asked. Controlling the media's response has become a nightmare, Everyone was searching for me, but no one actually wanted to find me. I couldn't catch a break. It was too early for nonsense and questions. I needed coffee and a toothbrush. Swinging my legs over the side of the couch, I was at a loss as to how to respond. For having found the oracle they sought, none of them appeared remotely pleased. "I have no idea what's going on," I said finally, and stood. "I know you're God around here, Adonis, but do you have a spare toothbrush?" Silence. "I can use yours. People act like I have rabies, so I figured you wouldn't want that." "Second drawer, in the bathroom," he replied at last. "Thank you." I walked towards the bathroom, unusually aware that he was watching me. It was weird how my instincts picked up on him, and only him like that. After I had freshened up, I returned to the living area to find all of them gone. Truth be told, I was kind of relieved. Adonis made me nervous. I wanted to think it was because he was a badass in his own right, but I recalled that tiny moment of something in his arms yesterday. My fingers remembered what it was like to touch his chest, and his scent drifted in the air around me. It was more than a memory, though. I felt him, as if we were connected somehow, and I was being drawn towards him, when every part of me knew that was completely wrong. It was stronger today. Twisting around, I sought some sight of him being present, and spotted him on a balcony overlooking a courtyard that hadn't been tended in years. What made him live on an abandoned compound? I wanted to know what was going on, if Heracles was safe. It feared dealing with him, the man four people I knew had committed suicide to avoid. There's something here. Something unnatural I didn't yet understand. I wasn't afraid. I had a list of reasons I should have been, but I wasn't. Neither was I comfortable around him. The fact he could outrun and outfox me left me unsettled. Heracles had taught me to take care of myself, but never bothered to mention what happened when someone bested me, and I was subjected to being trapped by mind games. We never talked much about emotion or mental strife, and he scoffed at the priest's attempt to teach me diplomacy. I rarely found fault in my guardian, but I was starting to suspect I'd missed a few things. Like how to deal with a man resembling Adonis Wade. He was too young to be in such a powerful position and not to be a super genius, ambitious, and strong enough for anything I could throw at him. I had to figure this situation out. Him out. Get my answers and help Heracles escape. As if feeling my gaze, he spoke. "You haven't asked about him," the head of Sisa said without turning. One hand rested against his temple, as if he had a headache. It bothered me that he could sense me better than I did him. I was really hoping he wasn't able to read minds, too. "How is he?" "In one piece, for now." I shifted feet, not liking the response at all. "Can I see him?" "No." "Why should I just take your word?" "What choice do you have?" "Yesterday, I might have been compelled to agree," I replied. "Then Nico sold me out, and you decided to threaten Heracles with bodily harm if I didn't cooperate. You can see why I'm not really interested in trusting anyone right now."
"Nonetheless, you have no choice but to behave in the hopes I don't do to Heracles what I'm known to do to people like him." It was probably the scariest thing I'd ever heard. The priests always told us straight out what the consequences were for acting out or disobeying, and rarely was their discipline discouraging to me. I knew only tiny hints about what this man was capable of, and that four priests had committed suicide via Nico, so they didn't have to fall into his hands. Add to that a high priestess that feared Sisa, and even Nico, a mercenary who stood to make money off me, who was at first unwilling to deal with this man.
and my imagination knew no bounds as to what someone had to have done to scare so many people.
"You were testing me yesterday," I said quietly.
"Why?"
"Curiosity."
That's it?
"What else is there?"
He faced me, his intense gaze rattling me. My cheeks grew warm for reasons I wasn't able to figure out, and I crossed my arms, feeling exposed.
"I don't know. It seems beneath you."
At his silence, I continued. "You have a billion awards and citations, and run this mega-huge security force that terrorizes the entire world. How does one person rate your curiosity?"
"How does the Oracle not know who she is?"
he countered. "I know exactly who I am. It's everyone else who seems surprised I'm not someone else," I said, perplexed. "I can defend myself, survive under any conditions for any length of time, and am generally what I consider to be a good person. Who cares if my Greek is basic? I hate chick flicks and have never kissed a guy." Too late, I heard the part about kissing and flushed. Not that I cared what he thought, but was this all going in some sort of official record? Was I going to go down in history as the Oracle who never kissed a boy? Because I couldn't think of anything more embarrassing. "You don't know everything, or you wouldn't have stayed here voluntarily. You call me being here voluntary?"
"You want to know what you really are,"
Adonis stated.
"You want to know where you came from. You want to know why. You may think you know what you're capable of, but you don't have any idea, and that's why you stayed."
I drew a deep breath. He was like Leandra, the wrong person delivering the right message, and I hated that. "Okay, yes, I want to know those things, but I stayed for Heracles. I will always stay for him.
At the risk of everything you are and could be?"
"I really don't care what you think I am or could be, and I definitely don't have a problem with who I think I am. I care about him." Adonis was hard to read. He didn't seem to know exactly how to take my honesty. Or perhaps he was offended by it. I wasn't able to tell, except I had the impression he was constantly evaluating me. I had no answers for him. He already knew more about me than I did. "Can you tell me who my parents are?" I asked.
"Not unless the Triumvirate approves the disclosure of such information."
"How can their names be of any importance whatsoever?" His silence was stifling. This line of discussion appeared to be closed, to the dissatisfaction of both of us, if I read his tight features correctly. "Why do I get the impression no one wanted to find me?" I asked.
"Politics."
"I don't understand."
"I know."
He clearly wasn't willing to enlighten me. "The Supreme Priest will see you soon, and the Supreme Magistrate when he's done. I would recommend you be on your best behavior."
"Like I'm not now?"
"And if I'm not?" I asked, a little irked by anyone telling me how to act.
"You probably won't like the consequences."
His words were too casual. His vague threats were a million times worse than anything Heracles or the priests had ever threatened me with. For the first time in my life, I had the feeling I was so far out of my league, there was no bridging this gap.
"You are really good at this game," I whispered.
"Game?"
"Passive intimidation."
"I've never heard it called that." The smile was cool and fleeting. He left the balcony and approached me. My senses and a few random emotions were thrown into a frenzy that caught me completely off guard. I was finding it hard to focus on the fact I never wanted this man within striking distance. Instead, I was lost in a state of confusion until he was almost toe-to-toe with me and then not about to back away because, well, I never backed away from a challenge. And that's what this was, a predator sizing up how hard his prey was going to fight back. I'd fight to the death, and I wasn't afraid for him to know it. I met his dazzling gaze.
"People are cautious when dealing with me," he said. "They hide their true intentions, lie when they feel threatened, and stick to the peripheral because they sense the danger inherent in drawing my complete attention. You tend to walk in blindly, swinging a bat. You know no fear, and you're honest beyond a fault."
Heat spread up my neck and face. I sounded like an idiot. I didn't want to care what he thought, but some part of me was acutely aware of the fact I was always too different.
"Intimidation is an art form with one key component. Uncertainty. How will you react when you don't know what I'm capable of?" he continued quietly. "My game is people. And you're not playing it like others do, hence my curiosity." The word was almost choked out.
"Yes." I couldn't handle his intensity or my growing unease. I shifted away, wanting to put something between us, even if I had no chance of standing up to him if he chose to attack. "Just putting this out there." I was starting to babble too, unable to control it. "You're scaring me. Kudos to you for that. I'm probably going to have to try to escape, so whatever punishment you're planning, this is already pretty freaky. I'd probably rather choose physical torture over this mind-twisting stuff, if you take suggestions."
"Not usually."
Was he amused? I had no idea. I'd never met someone I had less of a read on and more of a sense about than him. In fact, that's what was bothering me foremost. The draw. The uncanny familiarity of a man I had never met. The need to know more about him, despite suspecting he was constantly on the verge of killing me. "Who are you? Do you have some sort of magical power?" I asked. "Or have we met before?"
"It's a game. Nothing more." Of all he had told me, this was the only thing that sounded false. It was intuition again, whispering secrets I couldn't quite make out.
"That's not true," I said aloud. "I am not just a game to you. You do know me. I mean something to you. A promotion."
"No. Stop there."
The low threat was almost a growl, and he was tensing. My breath caught. I didn't dare look away from him, not about to be caught with my guard down if he came at me.
"There are limits you are not ready to push," he added.
He knows me. Not the Oracle or someone he had a dossier on. Me. But how? My mind raced with possibilities, none of which were remotely feasible. I kept coming back to the suspicion he had some sort of divine power that gave him insight, or maybe even foresight. With the senses and reactions of an animal, he had to be more than human. According to the priest, the discrete offspring of gods and human women existed in several high-up positions in the governments. Viewed as competition by gods and distrusted by humans, demigods were said never to announce what they were. Or did he feel what I did? The draw. So engaged was I in figuring him out, I barely noticed he had left until I heard the door close. Adonis Wade freaked me out. I wasn't about to stay here. I counted to 20, then went to the door. To my surprise, it wasn't locked, and no guard was posted outside the door. Closing the door, I gazed at it for a long moment. This was a dare. That much I figured out. I had no clue what this guy's endgame was, but I doubted I wanted to be involved. How did I find and rescue Heracles? I debated for a moment before an idea dawned on me. Spinning around, I went to the bedroom of Adonis and searched it for a guard uniform. Chapter 9. 2 hours later, I managed to scout an exit route and made it to the prison in the east wing. It went quickly, since no one was present to challenge me in 2 of the 4 buildings on the compound. Similar to Adonis's apartment, the prison area showed signs of regular and continued use. Having never been in a prison before, I still thought the cells were too small, maybe 6 by 6, which meant my poor Heracles couldn't stretch out on his bed. It took some self-control not to plant in the middle of the corridor and yell for him. I had to pretend like I belonged, which mainly meant not drawing too much attention to myself. Adonis had an iPad in his apartment, and I pretended to walk and check it, like I was doing something. Entering the prison cells, though, required me to cajole the reluctant guard and convince him I'd lost my pass card. He let me in, probably because no one in their right mind would want to break into a prison. And I pretended to check my iPad screen and peer into the 1-foot square window of each cell. They were all empty, but well-maintained. Unable to understand the purpose behind the compound, it was beginning to weird me out. When I found him, I nearly squealed. Heracles was alive, lying on his side on his bed and staring at the wall. One arm was in a cast, and he had a black eye. I didn't see any other wounds or bruises, though he appeared